Welcome to the message podcast of Catalyst Baptist Church, a vibrant church with two campuses located west of Melbourne, Australia. Dedicated to creating a welcoming and safe space for everyone to explore and grow their faith in God, our vision is to see hope multiplied within our community and around the world. We hope this podcast serves as a source of encouragement and spiritual growth for you. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to journeying with you in faith.
Well, good morning, Catalyst. Welcome to church. It's so good to be with you here this morning, whether you're in the auditorium or online with us. Welcome. It's great to be able to join together and just hear from God's word, sing praises and glory to Him as well. Thank you for the honor and privilege that it is to stand before you and do this. We are continuing our series, Even If Today. And there's been some great teaching so far amongst this. So if you haven't sort of heard all of the messages that have been given, I encourage you to head to our website, YouTube, or even our app. And if you don't use our app, it's a great thing to get onto even now in the middle of the message, because there are sermon notes there. You can actually follow along as we speak, or you can go back and have a look at what has been there. There's also those study notes, as I say, but there's next steps there as well. So it's possibly the best thing to use as far as our messages are concerned. Today is about choosing faith, even if I stumble. And hopefully as we move through this message this morning, you'll hear something. It may only be one thing, but hopefully you'll hear something that you'll be able to just take on board and use it within your life, and it'll allow you to draw ever closer to God. I want to start with an account from my life. I love sports. I wasn't particularly outstanding at any sports, but I was above average on so many of them. One of the things that I wasn't above average on was sprinting. I wasn't a bad long distance runner, but I was too short to be a reasonable sprinter. But I was entered into a school carnival in the 100 metres. And I knew that I wasn't going to win that race, but I was determined to put in my best efforts so at the very least I could say that I did my best at that time. So I lined up with the other seven competitors for that particular race, and the gun went off and I fell. Now, I want you to hear very, very clearly. When I say I fell, it wasn't like one of those little stumbles you see people do. I had dirt in my mouth. Yeah, it was like flat on my face at the start. And I just looked up, and those guys were so far ahead. I just got to my feet and I was running as hard as I could, coughing and spluttering all the way because of the dirt that I had in my mouth. I've been there so many times in my Christian walk too. Can you imagine what it was like as I hit the ground and as I got back up? Just that humility, that embarrassment, that sense of failure. Even though I knew I wasn't going to win that race, I thought I'd finish somewhere towards the back of the pack of eight runners all up. I knew I could do better than what I'd done. And in my Christian walk, I've had so many of those mountaintop experiences, so many of those times where I felt so close to God and I prayed those prayers that we've all prayed and I got all my ducks in a row. I thought I knew exactly what I should be doing and how I could honor and glorify God with my life and head in this particular direction, and then something happens. I mess up. I do something I've been praying I wouldn't do. And instead of living that life of victory, instead of living a life with God working, walking in His will and purposes, I feel like I've failed. I feel like where I've ended up is so much worse than when I first gave my life to Jesus. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had that happen to you? Have you ever been in that place where you feel you've finally turned the corner and you've sorted things out between you and God, and maybe you've sorted things out between you and someone else, and then you mess up again? Maybe it's one of those occasions where it was an area of sin that you thought you had conquered, and you got into that place and you thank God because you'd overcome this sin that just had a hold of you, and you celebrated with Him, and then you fell back into it once more. And now you feel like you're back to square one. Perhaps it's one of those situations where you had been praying faithfully and you just kept praying and you sensed that it was like a brass ceiling between you and God. Something was preventing you from being heard and you were wondering why God wasn't responding. You were wondering why he wasn't hearing your prayers and you just began to question your faith and your walk. Maybe it's one of those things where, you know, you'd taken those baby steps, you started following Jesus and you thought you were doing pretty good, but then you started looking around at the other Christians around you and they were the same age as you, but they had it so much more together. They were doing so many things that seemed so powerful and so right, and suddenly you wonder if your little baby steps were even worth it. Was God in the midst of what was happening in your life, especially when everyone else seems to have it so much more together? Have you been in that place? Or are you there in that place right now, where you're wondering if God could even use someone like you? If you're wondering if God is done with you? Where you're sitting there and you just sense, you feel that you just keep failing, you just keep messing up, and you feel that you're not worthy of being called a follower of Jesus. Is that where you are right now? If that's you, or if anything that I've just said resonates with you, please be encouraged. You're in the right place. You are not alone. And when we get into Scripture, when we read the Scriptures that Paul has before us now, Paul is writing to the church of Philippi about exactly the same issue. He's reminding them that our Christian walk isn't about getting it right 100% of the time. It's about keeping your eyes on Jesus. It's about when we fall, we don't lose sight of him. He's still there. And we keep our eyes on him. And we get up. We get up again. And we continue to press forward towards him. And I want you to hear very, very clearly, the reason we do that is because it's not about you and I. It never has been. It's all about him. You see, our righteousness comes through Christ, not our performance, not what we do. And this is something that Paul demonstrates in how he teaches and how he instructs. And he's not afraid to speak about his past. And when we think about Paul from a Jewish perspective, he had an impeccable resume. He had it all together. And in fact, if we read Philippians 3, 4, and 6, he speaks about if anyone had reason to boast in the flesh, the things that he did, the things that he achieved, it was him. He was, as was required by the Jews of the time, he was circumcised on the eighth day. He was a people, a person of the tribe of Israel. He was a Pharisee. He was zealous for God, persecuting this church who didn't honor God in his belief at the time. He was blameless under the law, doing everything and anything that was expected of a good Jewish young man. But with all of this outward expression, even the life that other Jews around him would say was God-honoring and God-glorifying, he came to this life-changing realization. Let me read it for you from Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8. I once thought, this is Paul speaking, I once thought that these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ. Hear Paul's words. Everything in his life, now worthless. Everything in his life, he's discarding. Everything in his life, counted as garbage. Paul says, all my achievements, all my knowledge, all my learning, my status, my zeal, even my stand before God at that time, each and every part of that is worthless. It's garbage. And I love here that Paul has arrived at exactly the same place each and every one of us must arrive at in order to serve Jesus the way we should. We have to get this. We have to understand this. You see, Paul realized it didn't matter who he was or what he'd done, good and bad. It didn't matter how righteous he was or how justified his actions. He couldn't earn God's favor by being good. We can't earn God's favor by being good. He couldn't pray enough. He couldn't serve enough. He couldn't behave enough in order to be worthy, in order to gain a place in heaven. But he literally had this light bulb moment. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I became righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him depends on faith. Paul has shifted his dependence to no longer be about him, who he is, what he has achieved, what he can do in his own strength. He's pushed that aside. He's shifted to fully depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's way of making us right with him is through faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in all that Jesus said and did. Faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. That is how we are made right with God. And when we think about the finished work on the cross, I want you to understand all our mistakes, all our mess-ups dealt with on the cross. When we trust him, his righteousness covers us. And this isn't my thought. This isn't something I came up with. Romans 8:1 says, there is now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, I know we're all aware of this passage of Scripture. It's an awesome passage of Scripture, and we all know it, but do we know it? Do we know what it means? Do we apply that to our lives? Do we stand upon that, and do we believe it? When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we belong to him. And before we did that, we were condemned. God rightfully judged us for ignoring him, for not giving him our rightful place, his rightful place in our lives. We refused to acknowledge him. And so we stood condemned. We would face the punishment of sin, which is death and eternal separation from God. But then Jesus comes and he takes our place. And he took the punishment that was rightfully mine for ignoring God. He took that upon himself, all of it. And because Jesus accepts me, I will no longer face punishment for those things. I will no longer face punishment for what I have done. What that means is, when you fail, when you mess up, when you fall back into sin that you thought you'd overcome, when you focus on those things, when you feel like a failure, when you feel like Jesus has got no more use or purpose for you, when you feel like it's all gone, when you think you're beyond God's reach and help, and you think you're not worth it, you haven't failed to obtain God's approval. You're actually running from it. You haven't failed to gain God's approval. You're running from it. When Jesus took my sin upon himself, it was the sin I knew I had committed. It was the sin that I would commit into the future. It is the sin that I would do deliberately. It is the sin I would do accidentally. It is the sin I would do habitually. And it wasn't just my sin. He took my shame. He took my failure. He took my doubts. He took everything. Everything. And he nailed it to the cross. Dealt with once and for all. And we have freedom in Christ. And we need to accept that. He is so rich in kindness and grace. And he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son. And he forgave our sins. God does not renege or turn back on his word or his promises. He didn't accept you once and now holds off because you've done something wrong, because you've messed up. His acceptance is total. And if you've declared Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then God the Father has accepted you in Christ, just as Paul has been accepted. And look at what Paul says about his journey with Jesus. I don't mean to say I have already achieved these things or that I have reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Just prior to this, Paul has spoken about not having a righteousness of his own, but having righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. And he speaks about wanting to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection, and that he will take all means possible to obtain the resurrection of the dead. And Paul is saying, I'm not there yet. He really wants to be there. He really wants to reach perfection, but he knows he keeps messing up. He knows he keeps getting things wrong. And over in Romans 7, we have this same Paul saying, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? This is Paul expressing the same frustrations that we have. The fact he isn't meeting the standard he wants in his life. He has this ongoing internal conflict between his desire to do good and his struggle with him constantly falling into sin. He is declaring to all of us, I haven't arrived yet. I'm a work in progress. And it's incredible that if Paul, this great guy that we hold up, can admit this openly for all of us to know, why can't I do the same? I think I can. I'm willing to admit I don't have it all together and I've got so much to learn. But what about you? We need to realize Christianity, our walk with Christ, isn't about instant perfection. It's about a lifelong transformation. We take that first baby step when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And then God continues to walk with us. He's still working in you. He is still working in me. And he's shaping our character. He is refining our hearts. He's teaching us each and every day to depend on him more and more. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Some of the translations you have in front of you will say we're being transformed into his image with increasing glory. We are being transformed. It's ongoing. It's not an instant thing. We're being made more and more like Jesus. God isn't finished with us yet. We are a work in progress. Don't give up. You may not be where you want to be, but you're on a journey. Don't be discouraged. God is with you. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us run with endurance the race God set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. The race, or the journey we are on, is one that God set before us. He started this race with us. He will finish it with us too. He calls us to strip off every weight that slows us down. And he says especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And he's telling us that firstly, he knows that we're going to sin from time to time. He knows that we just can't stop that. He knows that we want to get rid of it, but it's constantly with us. And so the call is to hate sin as much as God hates sin. So when we do sin, because our eyes are firmly on Jesus, we come back to him, we ask him to forgive us, we repent, we turn away from that sin once more. And he's there with arms open wide, ready to receive us. And more than that, as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we look to him, we listen to him, we apply what he tells us to our lives. And in context here, it's not about thinking our sin excludes us from his acceptance. Our sin doesn't exclude us from his purposes. Our sin doesn't exclude us from being useful to him for his purposes. And this morning, I want to ask you, don't believe those whispers that say that you're a failure and you're not good enough. We are told in Philippians 3, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. Paul had a past, one that could have easily disqualified him. He persecuted the early church. He killed the followers of Jesus. He agreed to the stoning of Stephen. If anyone should beat themselves up about their past and the bad stuff they've done, I think Paul qualifies. But he chose to let go of his past, both the failures and the successes. And he pressed on to follow Jesus and the plan that Jesus has for the rest of Paul's life. So no matter what you've done, no matter how difficult things seem to be right now, we're called to press on anyway. We stumble, but we don't stop. Many of us get caught in the trap of looking back. We replay our regrets, we replay our mistakes, we replay our failures, our disappointments. Or maybe you're one of those people who look back to the glory days when you were particularly close to Jesus, when everything seemed to be so good and rosé, and you want that again, you desire that once more. You know what? It's really hard to run a race well if you're looking over your shoulder constantly. We should be looking forward to Jesus. We are called to run this race before us. If we keep looking back, we don't do so well. We are told, forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. This is God speaking. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? You know, God doesn't leave things unfinished. He has started this new thing in each one of us who call Jesus our Lord and Savior. He's already begun a new thing in you. Forget everything that is in your past. Don't lean on that. You are a new creation in Him. You have risen to new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, a life committed to following Jesus. Your past does not define you. Jesus does. And He loves you. He accepts you. He wants the best for you. And He will be with you. And the best is yet to come. Can I ask you, what is it that holds you back from being all you can be for the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it? Let me remind you of the heart of Paul's message to the church. This is his message to you and I. Your stumble is not your story. Jesus is. Your performance does not secure your salvation. Jesus' finished work on the cross does that. Your past does not define your future. God's grace does. Your failure does not mean the race is over. You just get another opportunity to get up and try again. You should be up here. We see the nods in the congregation. Because that sounds good in this space, doesn't it? It's when we go outside, we start having a few issues. If we want this message, if we want this to have an impact, we have to live it out there. We have to live this every day. So here are some challenges for you this week. You may take them all on, you may take one of them on, but I challenge you just to do at least one this week. And first and foremost, live with gospel-centered confidence. Wonderful churchy thing to say, hey, yes, thank you, Pastor, I'll do that. So good. But what I mean is, stop trying to earn what Jesus has already given you. It's a gift. Just receive it. When you hear that voice in your head whispering to you that you are not good enough, rebuke it. You are accepted in Christ. Tell yourself, I am free through the blood of Jesus who has forgiven all my sins. This is about speaking the truth of Scripture into our lives. And we should start each and every day with the gospel truth. Tell yourself, there is no condemnation for me in Christ Jesus. Or I am accepted, I am forgiven, and I am loved. They are biblical truths. Secondly, keep moving forward, even when you fall. Your progress in faith is not measured by perfection. It is measured by your perseverance. Paul says he presses on regardless of what is happening. He focuses on Jesus and he moves towards him. I want you to think about an area, think about it right now, where you have felt guilt or shame or discouragement. And I want you this week, maybe even today, to take one small step forward. I want you to have a conversation with a trusted Christian friend about that issue or problem that has just hung on. Or I want you to have a conversation with God. I want you to pray with him, to him. And I want you to ask for his forgiveness in that. I want you to apologize to God for whatever that thing is and apologize to God for not accepting the freedom that he has already given you. And then I want you to set some boundaries. Do something that will mean you don't stay where you fell, where you move forward. Thirdly, fix your eyes on Jesus each and every day. Again, this is one of those great Christian things to say, thank you, Pastor. But that doesn't make it any less true or necessary. You will not run the race of faith if you're focused on your past, your failures, when you fell, or even when you're focused on your achievements that are in your past, or when you're focusing or comparing yourself to others around you. Jesus Christ is the perfecter of our faith, not you, not your discipline, not your strength, not your willpower. Jesus, full stop. Take time each and every day to read his word. And have one goal in mind as you open that word and pray this prayer at the very least. Jesus, help me see you more clearly today. Very simple. Finally, walk with others. Don't run alone. Paul had this host of people who helped him. We need a host of people around us to help us. That's why we're called to the body. The Christian walk is not one that we're supposed to do on our own. When we stumble, we need people who will help us stand. We need people who will come alongside and remind us of God's truth and cheer us on. This week, what about each and every one of us pick someone from this gathering of people? What about each and every one of us decide to encourage someone in their faith journey? It may be someone who's got it all together. It may be someone who is struggling. But can I just challenge you? Text, phone, email, have a coffee with someone and encourage them in the faith. If there's someone who's had a huge impact upon you, why don't you tell them? They might be having a real sucky week and that little word of encouragement could be what they need to keep going. And friends, if it is you who has needs, let us in. Ask for prayer. You can do that by coming to the front. You can do that by asking a trusted Christian friend. But guys, if we want to grow in faith, if we want to draw ever closer to Jesus, we've got to do it together. We've got to be willing to let others into our lives. Catalyst, even those online. Your story is not defined by the moments you've fallen, but by the grace that lifts us back up. Our race is not finished. God has not stepped away. He hasn't wiped his hands of us. And Jesus is not waiting at the finish line to judge us. He's not there checking off our performance. He's running beside us, strengthening us, calling us forward, celebrating every step we take towards that goal. So this week, press on. Press on when you feel weak. Press on when you feel unworthy. Press on when the past tries to speak louder than God's promises. And even if you stumble, when you stumble, get up. Fix your eyes on Jesus and keep going. the one who started this good work in you will carry it to completion. And the best is yet to come. Father God, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love. I thank you, Lord, that you've made a way where I literally have to do nothing except Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I thank you for that acceptance, even when I mess up, even when I stumble, even when I fall. I thank you that you wait with arms wide open to welcome us back. Lord, will you forgive us for not accepting that truth? Will you forgive us for not returning to you, for thinking that we are beyond your reach and help? You are an incredibly loving, gracious God. I pray for each of us, Lord, that we'll step into that space this morning. And Lord, I know you have challenged so many people here this morning. I know this has resonated with them. I know Holy Spirit is ministering to them. But Lord, will you give them the guts to deal with it today? Will you allow them to come forward for prayer? Will you allow them to lean on their Christian brother or sister beside them and ask them for prayer? Will you allow us, Lord, to step into that space where we can all direct our focus to you and that we'll do it outside this building? Let our lives be transformed as a result, Lord. Let us apply this to our lives, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.